I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Overcoming, being strong, is not all up to God. We have a part to play. He gives us, when we receive Jesus is Lord, we're born again, He gives us a measure of His own faith. The faith He created the worlds with. We have a measure of that in us. It's amazing. It is creative. It is empowering. But you can do something with it or you can do nothing with it. If you never feed it, and you never exercise it, it'll be like you don't have it. But if you feed it, you become more aware of it. And if you use it, it gets stronger. And you do this month after month and year after year, your faith will get to the place where things that used to be seem completely impossible to you. You look at it and go, well, God can do that. And it's not that God changed. He could have done it then. But you've changed. Hallelujah. And that's why we start off the class by saying, my spirit's being fed. My faith is growing stronger. Numerous times, Jesus would, he'd question people and he would even reprove them. He'd say, where's your faith? And sometimes he'd say, oh, ye of little faith. And he'd say, how is it that you don't have any faith? He's saying, you know, there should have been some faith, but there wasn't. And too many times that's the case today. But there were a couple of times where he said, now that's great faith. I hadn't seen faith like that anywhere in the whole country. How many want to be in that category? The great faith category. Well, it's not, you know, these people that had this great faith, one was a Syrophoenician woman, the other was the centurion. These were not people, they weren't scribes, they weren't even pastors or preachers or anything like that. I'm not for sure if the Syrophoenician woman could even read. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew and have multiple doctorates to have faith. In fact, some of those folks have no faith. They just got a head full of stuff and no faith. Not, you know, it depends on who you are, but I'm just saying that automatically, knowledge is not faith. Maybe is what I should say. But you can have knowledge and faith. But faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. And what they did, they heard about what the Lord was doing and they just believed it. And they just stepped out to receive it. I mean, somebody that was born again this morning can have a great miracle this afternoon.
That's right.
I'm telling you.
Yes,
huh?
Yes,
it's a choice. It's just a choice. Why? Because you're not the one doing the miracle. He's the one doing the miracle. You just choose to believe and choose to listen and choose to do what He tells you to do. So get ready for that in your life. For the Lord to tell you, show you what to do, and you just choose to do it. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the anointing and the utterance. Thank you that you are so gracious and faithful to give us the words that bring faith and to quicken us the action of faith that brings the power. And we give you the praise and the thanks and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've been talking about faith for provision. Every area of faith, you got to feed that faith. You need to have faith for protection. You need to have faith for healing. You need to have faith that you're forgiven and cleansed and washed and saved. You need to have faith to be led by the Spirit. You need to have faith for your bills to be paid. Faith that you'll have what you need to eat and wear, place to live, way to move around, and those kind of things. Faith must be fed in order and used, exercised, in order for it to be strong. And so we've been gone a number of weeks ago giving one by one 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Not my opinion, not somebody else's opinion, multiple scriptures for each one of these reasons. And if you haven't been with us, go online, faithschool.org, and all these previous 13 reasons, we're down to number 14 now, they're there online in the word supply, and even in multiple languages. If English is not your first language, or if you have family or friends that speak another language, check it out. That language may be there. And no cost, no charge. You don't have to commit to anything, but it'll catch you up with us. And what we have seen in every one of these is that God does not want you broke. He doesn't want you in lack. Poverty's not His plan, not His will. Being stolen from, being destroyed, that's the enemy's work. We saw in John 10:10, and this has been a favorite of mine for many years now, Jesus said, John 10:10, He said, "The thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." He said, "But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." The Amplified says that you might have and enjoy life and live it to the full until it overflows. Does that sound like being broke?
No.
Or poverty? No. Or lack? And what is the enemy doing? Stealing. Killing. Destroying. As we mentioned in yesterday's class, every one of those results in lack. Killing. That, you know, if something's killed and now it's dead, it's not there anymore. It's not available anymore. It's not operational anymore. It creates a lack. Destroying. Same thing. If something's destroyed, then it's not usable anymore. It's not available anymore. It creates lack. And obviously, stealing. And he started off by saying, the thief. What do thieves do?
Steal.
And so the enemy, now I know this is not a nice thought, but we don't need to pretend and put our head in the sand about it. The enemy every day is trying to steal from you. And his legion of cohorts working to try to take something away from you illegally. They don't have a right to do it, but they'll do it if we allow them to. And if we don't stop them, that's why the scripture said, resist the devil.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Shut it down. That's why Jesus said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose." There are things we need to bind in the authority of Jesus' name. And you don't have to wait till you see a character in a red suit and horns with a pitchfork. If it's trying to steal from you, that's the devil.
Yes.
Resist it.
Yes.
Bind it. Stand against it. If it's trying to take something from you, trying to take your children, grandchildren, trying to take your peace and soundness of mind, trying to take your health, trying to take your finances, trying to take your marriage, your relationships. Is any of that God?
No.
Is God trying to take something away from you? Kill something, destroy. No, no, no. And it's irritating to hear people attributing the work of the evil devil to our good God. In some cases, it's blasphemy. No, it's real simple. I mean, a three-year-old could understand it. God's a good God.
Yes.
He does good things.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
The devil's a bad devil.
Yes.
He does bad things.
Yes.
All the time. They never swap jobs. Ever. Ever. And lack and poverty is bad. Abundance and plenty, good. Loving it is the problem. Loving money. Not money. Money's not the, you need some money for a lot of things. And the more the better if you have a right heart and mind. Because, you know, if you're a bad person and you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of bad stuff. If you're a good person and you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of good stuff. Money in and of itself is not good or bad. You can do good things with it. You can do bad things with it. It's the love of it that's the problem. Everybody said out loud, I don't love money.
I don't love things.
I love God.
I love people.
I use money
to
do good things. All right. Is that the will of God?
Yes.
It is the will of God. We've gotten down to number 14 in our study of why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And that is because God is the God of restoration. Why don't you just say that out loud? My God,
my God is
the God of restoration. We saw that that word restore, restoration, is the word shalom. It's connected to the word shalom, peace. And it means to be completed. To be restored is to be completed. And we're finding out it's more than just having something that was lost replaced. God wants to take you beyond what was lost. That gives Him glory. He actually delights, Micah said, in showing mercy. In the book of Joel, we read that when God's people came back to Him, He said, I'm going to rain on you, the blessing of rain, and your wheat bins are going to be full, your vats are going to overflow. And He didn't finish there. He said, and I'm going to restore to you the years that were eaten up. Is that God?
Yes.
Is that still the will of God?
Yes.
Did you hear the phrase, I will restore to you the years that were eaten up, that were consumed. Can God do that?
Yes.
Can He reach back?
Yes.
Get what you thought was gone,
yes,
what was hopelessly lost or forfeited. Can He bring you back, not just to where you were, but add to you double?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And beyond.
Yes.
We have seen that in the Scriptures in our previous studies. So going on today, let's talk about it further. So much to see here. But in 2 Chronicles, the 25th chapter, 2 Chronicles 25, there's an interesting thing happened here, and a verse, that a word of the Lord that came out that I've used personally a number of times in years, as the years go by. There was a king of Judah who has come to power, and he gathered his forces. I think he mustered 300,000 soldiers, age 20 and up. And verse 6, 2 Chronicles 25, 6, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel. Now at this point, Judah and Israel are separated. They are different, countries, different peoples, different kings and armies. But because he didn't think his forces were enough, he hired from the king of Judah, hired from Israel, an additional 100,000 soldiers to add to his forces, and he paid 100 talents of silver. Well, that's a lot. A talent ranged anywhere from, 50, 60 pounds to 125 pounds, depending on what kind of talent you're talking about. And so an average talent was 75 pounds or so. And so it was something that a man could carry. And so it was about that, you know, 60 pounds, 70 pounds, whatever it was, 80 pounds. But we're talking about a 75-pound chunk of precious metal, silver in this case. It also talks about talents of gold, which of course were a lot more valuable. But he paid how many? 175-pound chunks of silver. Well, you're hiring an army, right? 100,000 soldiers complete with weapons, and these are trained soldiers. So he's hiring. This is a fourth of his army. So no wonder it cost a lot. But there came a man of God, verse 7, to him. And he said, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. Israel, again, Judah and Israel are separated. And Israel had gotten away from God totally. And Judah was still, you know, some of the time listening to God. Enough so that a man of God could come into the king here and say this. And he said, but if you're going to go, because he knew, the Lord knows you, you know, that he's planning on doing it anyway. He said, if you're going to do it, you better be strong. God will make you fall before the enemy. He has power to help or to cast down. You can go if you want to, but you're not going to have God's help. And you're going to fall and crash. You're going to be defeated. But can you see here how clearly is the Lord going to make you do what he tells you to do?
No.
Huh? He's saying, if you don't want to do it, you better be strong because it's going to be a big fight. And it ain't going to end well. Verse 9, Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given the army of Israel? What about that? And listen to the answer. The man of God said, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. What's the lesson here? Well, lesson one, pray and check in with the Lord before you go spending a bunch of money. And right? Huh? That's number one. Because if he'd have taken the time to seek God and ask the Lord would have told him, no, don't do that. That's not the way I want you to go. But that was his idea, and he spent the money. And now he's saying, look, I mean, this is big money. And what am I going to do? Just forget about it? And the answer basically is, yeah. Yeah. But does that mean that's the end of it and you've lost everything forever and you'll never get it back? No, no. You get a glimpse of how God sees money. Money, he's got. He can move trillions without making a phone call. He is not restricted or limited. And there's plenty of money in the world. There's plenty of resources. Don't let the devil lie to you and convince you. There's more than enough for everyone. The problem is, folks are not listening. They're not heeding. They're not believing. They're not receiving. He said, what about my 100 talents of silver? What about all that money? And the prophet says, hey, God is able to give you much more than this. What does that mean? You need to forget about the money and listen to God. You need to forget about the money. Don't try to get that money back. Don't pine over the money. Don't cry about the money. Obey God.
Amen.
Listen to God, right? Pray more next time and realize God can give you way more. Hallelujah. Much more than that. You know, we all need to know this. Don't raise your hand. That includes you. But have you ever made a mistake and done something you shouldn't have done and wasted money, lost money, It costs you money. How many times people have made investments they shouldn't have made? Lost it all. Given people money they shouldn't have given them. Bought things they shouldn't have bought. Turned out to be junk. Turned out to be nothing. Turned out to be a complete waste. Well, if you love money, you're heartbroken.
Yeah.
Right? You're having a hard time. You're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. It was $10,000. Oh no, it was $50,000. But that's because money means too much to you. And because you haven't been praying and listening to God about it. He's saying, okay, so you lost some money. Okay, you lost 175-pound chunks of silver. Okay, you lost $1 million. You're like, ho, ho, relax.
Yeah.
Relax. You know what $1 million is to God? He creates stars.
Right?
Right? He created all the gold and all the precious metals and all the planets and the universe. I mean, it's so tiny to Him. You know what's big to Him? A heart that believes Him, that trusts Him, that will listen to Him. And even though you have made the dumbest mistakes and you have lost money, don't pine after that money or that loss like it was a loved one. Huh? Because the love of the money is the root of all kind of bad things and connected to bad things. No. You know how quickly God could replace that money? You know how quickly God could double that money? Oh, come on. Y'all with me or not? We're talking about the God of restoration. We're talking about the unlimited Jehovah Jireh, the unlimited El Shaddai, El Elyon, Most High God. Huh? There's no amount that even really gets His attention. You can't scare Him with a big number. Big numbers? He's got big numbers. He knows about big numbers. We don't even know those numbers. The little stuff we're dealing with down here is the tiniest, most minuscule stuff to Him. And He's like, okay, all right. Forget about it. I will give you much more than this if you will quit chasing it and listen to me and obey me. This is the word of the Lord for somebody. Huh? It's the word of the Lord. Everybody lift up your hand and say, Lord,
I don't love money.
I'm not going to pine or grieve over lost money and lost things. It's so tiny in the big scheme of things. But I also don't have to just settle that I've lost things. You are well able, and gracious and good to give me much more than this. I believe it. I reach out for it. Show me what to believe, what to say, and I do declare, you are able.
You are faithful.
You are faithful.
You are gracious.
You will
give me much more
than this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, somebody's going to see some restoration. Somebody's going to see restoration. I've used that at different times. Not just on money, but anything that seemed like it was lost. Or if you made a mistake on something, or you let something slip by. As long as God is on the throne, it ain't over.
That's right.
Is that right? Yes. And I'm breathing, and we got another day.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
God can do things no man can do. He can do things and recover things that people thought was hopelessly lost. No way it could ever come back or be restored. Well, you don't know who your God is if you really believe that. The devil will lie to you. And he'll tell you, you know, what his big thing is, he knows. He's been around long enough and seen what God can do. But he also knows if he can get you to give up, if he can get you to accept that it's hopeless and not even try, then that limits God's ability to do it for you. Because a failure to even act or try, that's no faith. That's lack of faith. When you give up and you think, well, I'm not even going to try. It's hopeless. It's not going to make any difference. It doesn't matter anyway. That's when you lost. Not when the thing happened. Just because a problem happens, just because a bad thing happens, that's not the end. Now what do you do? Do you give up? Do you quit? Or do you look up and say, because you've been to faith school. Is that right? And you heard some things. And you are absolutely convinced that nothing is too hard for God. Amen. Nothing Amen. Is too big for Him. That includes recovery and restoration from the worst sins. Amen. The worst failures. The worst. No matter how bad and how long it went that way, that's not the end. The end is when you give up. Amen. When you quit. If you won't give up and quit, if you look up through your tears, through the mud, through the failure, and say, God, I'm sorry I hadn't listened to you, but I still believe in you. I believe you can do what nobody can do. I'm reaching out to you. Help me. Pull me up. Get me out. Restore me, God. Hallelujah. He will hear that prayer. He will hear that prayer. No matter where you are, He will hear it. No matter what you've done, if you're willing to repent, He will forgive you. Even if other people won't forgive you, He will forgive you. He will forgive you and wash you and not even bring it up to you again. And He'll say, and I'm going to restore to you the years that were eaten up. And you'll say, God, you're so good. Oh, you are so good. And our time's up again today, but there's a lot more to see. Come back tomorrow. We're going to shout some more about the God of restoration. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.